the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, wherever you are in the world's time zones. All of them covered like a blanket by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, honored and privileged to be escorting you through the weekend. And what a weekend it has turned out to be. Listen, there is something that I think I ought to get on right away. I don't think there's anything hoaxy about this. There have been over 3,000 earthquakes within 72 hours off the coast of the Northwest U.S. 3,000 earthquakes in 72 hours. The story is catching fire, I guess. There are a lot of people on their way up to the Seattle area trying to figure out what's going on. It's all underwater. Maybe an underwater eruption? They don't really know. But 3,000 earthquakes in 72 hours means something is moving under the water there. Maybe it'll come to something, maybe nothing, but be warned. In the category of hoax, as you know, last night I passed on to you this plan that was on a blogger site hosted by Negative Zero. Well, as soon as I discovered it, it disappeared, of course, but now they're back, and their new plan is to try and conduct a hoax. They say now either the original date, which was the 19th, or next Saturday, that would be when I'm on the air, or some other, and they're going to vote on when best to have this giant UFO hoax, which we'll be well aware of and tracking right along with, so I really wouldn't bother, but they seemed, you're just absolutely, you know, it's funny, the page disappeared after I nailed them. Just went away. However, there's continuing follow-up pages yet today, and we'll continue to follow it. We have many sources. A left-wing journalist, Juliana Sprignana, claimed American soldiers gave no warning before they opened fire, and said Sunday that she could not rule out that U.S. forces intentionally shot at the car carrying her to the Baghdad airport, wounding and killing the Italian agent who had just won her freedom after a month in captivity. An Italian cabinet member urged her, who writes, by the way, for a communist newspaper that routinely opposes U.S. policy in Iraq, to be very cautious in her accounts, and said that the shooting would not affect Italy's support for the Bush administration. This is a wild story, I think. Sony Corporation has named Howard Stringer as its chairman. Did so Monday, now Monday in Tokyo, a decision that marks the first time, indeed the first time, that a foreigner is going to head a major Japanese electronics firm, and comes as the company seeks to improve results at its faltering core electronics business. Stringer, vice chairman at Sony and chief executive of Sony Corporation of America, replaces the Japanese leader who has been leading now for a decade. So an American is running Sony, and is that a wild turn of events or what? Would you ever have imagined, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, that an American would be leading the Sony Corporation? Yikes! A leading Republican senator is proposing to raise the Social Security retirement age from 67 to 68 for max benefits, reasoning that Social Security is in trouble, and reasoning that people are living longer these days. He's saying now people ought to wait until they're 68, and maybe that'll save Social Security. The militant group Hezbollah, largely on the fence since anti-Syrian protest erupted in Lebanon last month, switched gears Sunday and threw its weight behind Syria and its allies, calling for massive rallies in Beirut to show loyalty to Damascus. As mercury spills in schools disrupt classes, teachers and environmental groups want to get rid of student labs of the versatile but dangerous metal. In recent weeks, mercury was found in stairwells and corridors of a high school in the nation's capital. The building had to be closed twice for decontamination. And still more traces were found Sunday, even as cleaning crews were wrapping up their work in preparation for reopening the schools on Monday. Mercury poisoning. Mercury, well, you know, a lot has changed. When I was a kid, mercury was cool. I mean, heck, we took mercury and you'd put it on your finger and you'd put it on a dime or something, you know, like a dime, and you'd rub the dime. The dime would get incredibly shiny, and that was fun. Fun with mercury. And now, of course, we know that it's poisonous. But, hey, back in the day, it was nothing more. Mercury was kind of a cool oddity that kids played with, and I was one of them. Yeah, so that's what happened, huh? We'll be back with more open lines directly ahead. Stay right there. One more item before we get to open lines. Whitley's site, unknowncountry.com, is keeping as close a track on this flu thing as I have been. And his lead story this hour is, the director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control has warned that the outbreak of bird flu in Asia is the single biggest threat facing the entire world today. Right now, bird flu can only be caught directly from infected birds, usually chickens, for example. But there are now signs that the virus is evolving and may soon be able to be passed from person to person. Should that occur, we could have an epidemic very similar to or rivaling the 1918 influenza pandemic that killed millions of people around the world. Researchers don't know for sure that the H5N1 strain of bird flu will evolve into a form that can be passed from person to person. Right now, the bird flu has a fatality rate of about 3 out of 4, 75% who catch it die. So if this form of bird flu spreads throughout the world, obviously it would be an international health disaster. The longer the bird flu virus is around people, the greater the risk it might mutate and learn how to defeat the human immune system. A vaccine has not yet been developed for the bird flu, but researchers are working overtime to try and get one. The prescription medicine Tamiflu, manufactured by Roche, is effective against avian flu, but if an epidemic begins, Tamiflu's stocks will quickly be depleted, and the company may not be able to manufacture enough of the drug to fill worldwide demand. As with AIDS drugs, we'll see patients in rich countries being treated, and of course those in third world countries suffer and die. Let us proceed to the lines. Wildcard line, you're on the air, top of the evening, morning, or whatever.
Hi, Art. This is Blair in Sedona, Arizona.
Hi, Blair.
I wanted to talk about one of my favorite talks you did about 8 years ago with Terrence McKenna, back in 97.
Terrence, yes. A lot of really good memories of Terrence.
He was like an explorer using the mind, you know, outer space, going through inner space.
And well, he wasn't a very good advert for the war against drugs, that's for damn sure. He was so brilliant,
yeah,
so incredibly brilliant and fast and sharp, that if the drugs did him any harm, well, you couldn't tell. And so that didn't make him a very good advertisement for the war against.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, we get through this rough transition period, maybe in 100 or 200 years, he'll be looked at as one of the great intellects of the 20th century. You know, he mentioned something about moving through time.
Before you move too far from that, I regard him as that already. Now, on moving through time?
Well, I'm just trying to paraphrase what he said, and I wanted to get your take on that. He said how you move around in time, it's not determined by the law of physics,
mm-hmm,
but it's determined by cultural programming, underlined. You know, we're far more imprisoned by cultural conventions than by physical laws. So, you know, you take the idea of quantum physics. Now, this is something that our science showed us, that everything isn't in a linear fashion. It's bursts of quanta, little energy bursts.
That's right.
The difference between Einstein and goodness gracious, Max Planck, for example.
Uh-huh.
So that means it's there for us to access at any time we use, this is according to Terrence, our imagination.
I absolutely don't rule out what Terrence said. The guy was brilliant. Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
And have a good night. By the way, the webcam photo that I have up right now, I'm going to put up a few tonight, no doubt. But this was from 2 days ago, and I've been telling you how much rain we've had in the desert. It has been a very, very, very unusual year in the desert. And I don't think I've ever put up a shot of the backyard before, at least certainly not from this angle. Now, I want you to know, number one, we plant no grass. Ever. The greenery that you see there has come from the rain, and whatever seeds, prehistoric type seeds, might have been in the ground. So what you see there, none of it except for Ramona's little garden of, there is a garden of herbs there. That aside, all the rest of the green there is all natural. It's come from all the rain we've had. Otherwise, that would be a barren desert in the back. In the front, we have a sort of a desert decor, as I think is the appropriate thing to do, you know, here in the desert. I put up a kind of a desert decor. I'm not one of those people who think that you should make the desert look like wherever it is that you originally came from. If people came from, you know, the lush Southern California area. Lush because, of course, of the water that's pumped in mainly. But if they come from that area, then they want their new area to look just like that. And so a lot of people start growing lawns out here. Not a good idea. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. How you doing?
Well, quite well, thank you.
Good deal. It's an honor to finally talk to you.
Thank you.
This is Rob in Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to touch on, well, basically a few weeks ago, you had a rebroadcast of the interview with John Lear, and he gave you the briefing, basically, of the government's disclosure.
That's right.
And if the audience doesn't know what I'm talking about, I urge them to go check
it out. I would think the majority of them would. The impact of that was gigantic.
Indeed. I would question whether the story about Jimmy Carter at the book signing for the caller called in initially, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the reason that he looked at him, and started crying.
Could have been. It absolutely could have been. And that was a caller, of course, who once called the program and said that he went to a book signing with Jimmy Carter. And, of course, Carter was quite famous for having said that if elected, he would demand all the evidence on UFOs that our government had. And then the follow-up to that was the caller, this man mentioned, called the show and said he once went to a book signing, you know, after President Carter had left office, and that he asked about what President Carter had found, and Carter said something slightly dismissive, and then he pressed him. And he ended up with a tear in his eye and didn't talk about it. Fairly compelling, I would say. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Colby. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Colby. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine.
I was calling to ask you your opinion on the Blue Book.
You're asking about the ABC special and how they handled Blue Book, or are you asking about Blue Book itself?
How they handled it on the ABC special.
Hmm. Well, they gave it pretty short shrift, I would say. There and in the case of Roswell, of course. They pretty well dismissed Roswell as nothing more than a myth. And I thought that was a wrong. By and large, as you know, I thought the ABC special was a good first effort for the general public, but dismissing Roswell that way, I thought, how could they? How could they, with all of the eyewitness testimony and all that has come about with regard to Roswell, how could, you know, and then handling that other stuff, how could they so easily...
President?
No, you're not. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, I heard the program last night, and I'd like to mention something that I think is very relevant. Mark Lane was one of the major researchers into...
Sir, you're going to have to raise your voice a little bit.
Mark Lane, who was one of the major researchers into evidence of CIA involvement in the Kennedy assassination, wondered why he had been bashed by the media, and he finally, after a lot of suits, got his Freedom of Information Act filed from the CIA. And it turns out that the director of plans of the CIA had been ordering all of its agents and all of its assets throughout the media to discredit him, and even gave them the types of talking points they should use. And among them were that he was a conspiracy nut, he was just in it for the money, that any newspaper would be glad to have this because it would be such a Jimmy Olsen type of scoop. Mm. They would never cover this up. Exactly the kinds of cliches I heard from your guest last night from Popular Mechanics. And I also...
No, wait a minute. The guest last night, sir, only commented on scientifically investigated items, 16 of them, in fact.
Well, that's not true, Bart, because...
Well, yes, that is true. I was here during the program, I know.
He closed off by saying that this was an independent commission. Certainly it was an independent commission. Everyone around the 9/11 Truth family, 911truth.org families have completely protested the conflicts of interest of that handpicked panel by the Bush administration, the conflicts of interest of...
Sir, hello. Pause, take a breath. My guest last night hardly even referred to that report. He referred to the article in Popular Mechanics. That's why he was here, and that's what he was discussing for 3 hours.
Well, he really did. He made a lot of political comments about the motivations, the psychology of those supposedly hating Bush.
He did say, he did say that he thought it was politically motivated, and I think it is, too.
Well, I think they are politically motivated, and frankly, Art, I believe you are, because you claim this objectivity that you have disagreements with Bush, but you're... supposed disagreement is to be more Bush than Bush.
I did
more,
not vote.
More warmongering.
I did not vote for President Bush, and I'll tell you why. Because President Bush is going to put nuclear waste here in Nevada, whereas the other candidate had promised that he would not let it happen. Most politics, sir, is local, and if you lived in Nevada, you might well have felt exactly the way I did.
I agree with you on that issue, but the point is, on everything, every murderous frame-up of countries for these... unprovoked preemptive wars around the world flow from this fabricated version of 9/11. All of that depends, and you have shown your agreement with every one of those military invasions and attacks going back from Vietnam to Afghanistan to Iraq, so you have a dog in this race.
I did not agree at all with the invasion of Iraq, and said so adamantly before it began.
Well, I certainly have heard other things, but I would like to mention Operation Northwoods. And if you don't believe that it's capable of for elements in this government to kill Americans on that scale, this was brought out by James Bamford, the NSA expert.
Yeah, I know. I've heard. Yes. Do you believe that President...
Let's bring it out. Let's bring it out.
Tell
right
me,
now.
Do you believe that President Bush ordered the 9/11 attacks?
I don't know whether he knew or not, but I believe it's very possible that people like Sinister Carl Janie Wolfowitz and the rest of them have that ability to reprise this Operation Northwoods, which had a plan to...
All right. I already got that. Thank you very much. I'm going to show you something. I think it's reprehensible. As a matter of fact, it is absolutely reprehensible. Those people who think that Bush ordered somehow this whole operation in the airplanes, I might add, to attack and kill thousands of Americans, that our own president did that. I'm not a big Bush fan at all. On the other hand, I'm not a big Bush opponent either. However, as I said last night, and I'll reiterate right now, I don't for one second think that this president or any other president ordered an attack that would kill thousands of Americans. And I think it's sad for those who did die, that it is represented by some. I mentioned the rent site last night, so I'm going to carry through with it right now. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. I just took a picture of a headline from a story that came from the rent site. That's why I mentioned it last night. This was originally printed 9/17/04, and you'll be able to read the headline for yourself. Government insider says Bush authorized 9/11 attacks. I think the headline should be clearly legible for you to read. So if you go to coasttocoastam.com right now, you'll be able to see exactly what I mean in a moment or so. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
With Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed, and there, I've got it up on my webcam right now. You go to coasttocoastam.com and click in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see Art's webcam, and I want to tell you, I could not be prouder to not be associated with anybody who would print anything like you see right there. We'll be right back. Well, all right. Back to the phones we go. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Howdy.
I was wanting to call in and respond to a lot of the criticism you've been getting because of last night's show. Frankly, I don't think it's fair for people to jump up and down and start rioting in the streets simply because, in all fairness, we simply listen to another point of view. And I think that's what the show is.
I know.
Has always been about.
But the minute you say, you know what, those buildings in New York and the Pentagon, may actually have been hit by airplanes that were hijacked. My God, I know it seems so far out, sir, but when you say it, they just take you apart.
I'll
tell you where it comes from. If you have a computer, go to coasttocoastam.com. I'm holding up an article that came from rents.com, which was one of the sites, in fact, that was in a Popular Mechanics, cited in Popular Mechanics. And the headline is, Government Insider Says Bush Authorized 9/11 Attacks.
Well, of course.
Now, I'm telling you, brother, that's sad for America when a lot of people start to get to believing. The president sat down and I had a paper in front of him, I'm sure, secret naturally, and said, well, what we're going to do, Mr. President, we're going to have these jets pile into the World Trade Towers. And then, oh, yeah, I think we'll have the Pentagon hit with 1-2. And just to make sure, we're going to add a missile on here and some explosives to make sure. And, please, give me a break.
And also here, Mr. President, is the memo to let the Miami Dolphins win the Super Bowl and also to raise gas prices this week.
Yeah, and how about Boston to the World Series?
You know? There you go. That's all it is. There is a conspiracy mania sweeping the country where if anything we do not understand or if there's some tragedy that unfolds, people start jumping up and down and screaming, oh, the government's trying to kill us, or it's
well, whatever happened to the most logical thing? The logical thing is that the airplanes were hijacked,
right?
That they did plow into the buildings, that it wasn't missiles. It seemed to me to be airplanes.
Right.
And that's what happened. And since we've been going after Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and to some degree even in Iraq now, I suppose, and that's the truth of it. So
yeah.
It's not more complicated than that. It's not a plot hatched out of the White House of the CIA.
No.
And the moment you say something that has a fair amount of logic like that, an Occam's razor-like thing, it's unbelievable. Anyway.
They're burning Art Bell effigies out in the street because
let them have that.
How dare you admit that there might be another way of looking at things?
I tried to point out last night that any number of individuals had their shot on the show for hour after hour after hour on the other side of the question, but dare speak one word on this side of it, and these people who are screeching about openness they turn red and they hold their breath.
Yeah, it's a case of open mouth and closed mind, I believe.
Have a good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. You too.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Wayne in San Antonio.
Hello, Wayne.
First of all, I do think that you and George put on a great, great show, and it's nice to have something out there that us insomniacs can be entertained with. And what I want to get to is my friend and I are really avid lovers of conspiracies and of supernatural phenomena, and we both have a crux for the Jersey Devil. And
Jersey Devil.
Oh, yeah. And what we really are looking forward to is eventually when we can get up the funds for it, we're going to go to the Pine Barrens and basically just set up as much surveillance stuff and do as much as we can to at least get some evidence on this. And I was just thinking, we've done a lot of research on it, too, so we know what's the best thing to do. And apparently, from what the Mayans tell us, something bad's going to happen in 2012. I don't think the world's going to end, but I think there might be something. And we do know the Jersey Devil usually appears before a natural disaster, if it's real. So I was thinking, what do you suggest we should take? Do you think we should go with tranquilizers or just cameras and stuff? Or do you think we should go before 2012? Or do you think we should just head out as soon as we get the chance? And what do you think about the Jersey Devil?
Well, I think you would make a tasty morsel. I don't know, sir. I mean, these decisions are up to you. I would be the last person to advise you to go out and hunt monsters. So if you want to go out and hunt monsters, have at it. And if it's sport for you, make sure you take care of it before 2012. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask you if you've ever heard of this crash at Roswell.
Of course I've heard of it.
Yeah, I know you heard of it. But I mean, whether you heard or not, that they did autopsies with those guys?
Well, that's the rumor.
Yeah, well, they found that they had convolutions of the brain, which means advanced intelligence or old age. And they were 3 to 4 feet high and blue eyes. And
where did you get all this?
Well, there was a guy that was on Kissin radio station, KISN, mm-hmm. in Portland.
Yes.
This was back in 1974, and I think it was in June.
Yeah.
I sent for the documentary, and so I've got a copy of it here. I should make a copy of it and send it to you.
All right, please do.
Yeah, but anyway, I live for the weekend to hear you, Art, and you just keep me awake all night. I wish you'd get on a couple more nights a week, though.
Two nights is
anyway,
fine.
You have a good day.
And you as well, thank you. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Where are you calling from, please?
Well, it's Tremaine here, calling from Powder River, B.C.
Up in British Columbia. And your first name?
Oh, Tremaine here, T-R-E-M-E-I-N.
Okay.
I want to thank you, first of all, for letting me on when Sir Charles was on.
You're very welcome.
And I remember that had to do with time, and actually had to do with the spaceship going at this light speed.
Yes.
Which is really has something to do with time.
Yes, well, it does.
I called about three times on that, and finally I got my answer. I read something in Scientific American. It was possible that where you have some, solar, batteries and solar power, that you can get it up to that speed, eh?
Well,
he confirmed it, eh?
Well, in a way, yes. In other words, any propulsion system in space, even an ion generator, right, is eventually going to get something up near the speed of sound. What, of course, is going to be most interesting is to see whether the speed of sound ultimately can be exceeded. But any sort of, even fairly minor but constant propulsion system is going to continue to build the velocity of the craft that it's propelling. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is Roger near Fort Wayne.
Yes, Roger.
And I'm not a trained scientist, but like a lot of your listeners, I'm very interested in science and technology, and I've got a theory about what happened to the water on Mars.
Oh?
And I think it is... From what I understand, there is little or no volcanic activity on Mars. Am I correct about that?
I'm not answering quickly because I'm not sure the last word on that is in. There's no real obvious volcanic current activity going on, that would be fair to say, I guess.
Well, that seems to tell me that Mars, the core of Mars, would be colder than the core of Earth.
I guess that would be logical.
And since water seeks the lowest level because of gravity on Earth, the only reason that the oceans haven't sank below the surface here on Earth is because we have a hot core. And when the water seeps down through the fissures and the cracks in the Earth's surface, it's forced back up by the heat from the core of the Earth. It can never sink. It can never actually reach the lowest level because of the heat from the core of the Earth.
That's a pretty interesting and, I don't know, fairly logical theory, I guess.
And on Mars, I think the core is cold, or cold enough to allow the ocean to sink through the cracks and the fissures in the surface down below the surface. I think all the water is still there, but it's below the surface because the core is cold and it allows the water to sink below the surface.
All right, I think that's a pretty cool theory myself. And so, I mean, you do have to wonder about it a little bit, right? We have our plentiful oceans on the world covering more land than not. And none of it has dribbled on down into the center, right? That's what he's saying. That Mars, with a cold center, would have allowed that to occur, so all of the water is underground on Mars. Well, we've got spacecraft investigating all of that, and I suppose eventually, perhaps sooner than later, we'll know if such a theory could be. And you never know. It could be. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
78.
That's very important.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Is that Art Bell?
Yes.
Wow, I can't believe I got you.
And you.
My name is Elizabeth. I'm from British Columbia.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have to vote in your elections, but I do take an interest. I always have been interested in politics since I was about 12. So, one thing about George Bush, I noticed, I do look at people a lot and try to fathom them, and I always thought George Bush had a very honest look about him, more than most people. I can't believe what people are thinking about him and saying about him.
Yeah, I know.
And I like you so much. I mean, I'll get through to you again, but I want to say that I love you because you're so honest and you search for the truth. It's obvious where you talk and
thank you.
Where you think. And I want to say one thing. People have said in the past that Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein didn't know each other. And I read after the attack, 911 attack, I was reading about Bin Laden in the Canadian newspaper. I forgot the name of it now, but anyway, it said that he lived in Iraq from 1996 to 1998. And that Saddam Hussein, this is before I ever heard anything going, there was no point in the talk of Iraq at the time. But it said he lived in Iraq, and that Saddam Hussein taught him how to dig underground, to live underground. I remember reading that.
That's where they certainly where they finally found Saddam, right? Remember that? Pretty pathetic. Was in a hole, a very small hole in the ground, kind of vertically holding himself up in there. Pretty pathetic, huh? For the guy with the giant war machine. That's the way he ended up. Now he awaits trial. They're putting that off. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Mike. I'm calling from Virginia.
Yes, Mike.
I just like the way you take your stand on this thing, and I have a feeling that most of the people that have this conspiracy theory are probably never spent a minute in a different country. But what I do have a little question for you. Is I think Big Brother hiccuped on 9/11. I'm not really sure.
The world hiccuped on 9/11, sir.
No, well, exactly. But one strange thing did happen to me. My internet dialed up by itself, and I was just wondering if anyone else out there had that happen to them.
I don't know. Maybe the world government wanted you online for some reason. Yeah, take a look at this headline. I mean, this is really the kind of crap that I'm talking about. I'm willing to buy and think about some things. And you know, almost every president that's come along has been accused of something horrible. And this, I guess, is no exception, but it doesn't make it any more palatable or any better journalism of any sort. Government insider says Bush authorized 9/11 attacks. Give me a break. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello,
Art.
Yes.
Oh, boy, am I glad I got through, finally.
Well, here you are.
Okay. My name is Gene. It was last year I had called you about an alien dead body I found on Mars in the city square.
Now, how would you find anything on Mars? Oh, by remote viewing it.
Yeah, pictures that are on the computer on Richard Hoagland's page.
Oh, I remember, yes.
Yeah, and I sent them to him, and if you...
How did he react?
Beg pardon?
How did he react?
Well, I haven't heard from...
Oh, no.
I sent them to Mike Barr.
Uh-huh.
All the pictures of things that I had found. And I'd like to find out if I'm really right in what I have found, that alien dead body in the city square. Or if it's a statue. It could be a statue that has fallen over.
Well, okay, sir. I wouldn't have any way of confirming for you, of course, what it is or isn't. That would be up to Richard Hoagland, so you're going to have to await a reply from him. But I can assure you that if what you sent Richard actually looked like an alien dead body, he'd be hot on the case, would be my guess. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Wait a minute, I didn't push the button. Now you're on the air. Hello. Hello there.
John from Boise, Idaho.
Hello, John. You're on the air.
Wow, I'm so amazed I get through. You're awesome, Art. I just wanted to make the comment on last night's show.
Yes, sir.
It really doesn't really matter how it happened or who was behind it. It happened. And the American people, we're the ones that get the short end of the stick, the law-abiding American citizens. Every time I turn around, there's a new federal agency in our face, restricting our freedoms. You can't even walk into a federal building without five armed guards and a movie camera and a metal detector.
That's the truth.
So it's like it reminds me reminiscent of before World War II in Germany, Homeland Security, your papers, please. It's very scary what's happening. No matter who's behind it, that's exactly what the end result is.
Well, that means to some degree, you see, that they win, the terrorists win. If they turn America into a police state, if they cause us to revise our own Bill of Rights and Constitution and remove the freedoms that were inculcated as a result of it, then they've won. So that's one thing we have to be very wary of. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
My name is David from Los Angeles. How are you?
I'm okay, David.
Good. Just want to say hello to all alien shifters out there and invite all the others to join our group. Alien Shift is a proactive proactive group.
So it's a big plug for Alien Shift, whatever that is.
Well, we are the one of the groups. We are trying to contact different races of aliens.
I see. Well, I wish you luck, and I'm sure people can research you on the web. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Jesse in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, what is the name of that song, and where is it from, that goes, One Velvet Morning When I'm Straight? I'm going to open up your gate.
It's called One Velvet Morning by Lee Hazelwood and Nancy Sinatra.
Lee Hazelwood?
And Nancy Sinatra.
Oh.
All right.
I've never heard it before.
Well, obviously you have, or you couldn't have sung me a line from it. Thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking.
always good.
Yeah, a good thing to do. People with these conspiracy theories, I think one of the problems is they believe the United States is all-powerful. And when we were hit, it made them fearful because suddenly they realized we weren't all-powerful unless we did it to ourselves.
Well, I guess I'm getting a little sick of the bash America first mentality out there.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Really, I'm getting sick of it. You know, America wrong always. America bad always. American presidents, murderers. It's getting a little rough out there.
Yeah, these people, like one of your other people that called in said, they haven't lived in other countries. And when you've lived in another country and you've seen how things are, you realize that this isn't a bad country at all.
Oh, you could not be more correct. I've spent a very great deal of time outside the country in a lot of third world countries, and people here don't have a clue how well they have it.
Not a clue at all. Well, thank you, Art, and keep up the good work.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the call. And by the way, coming up in a moment, in a very few moments, is Robert Zimmerman, who wrote, among other things, a book called Leaving Earth. Something we may have to do sooner or later. Some of us perhaps a little bit sooner. That's Robert Zimmerman in Leaving Earth. Space stations rival superpowers in the quest for interplanetary travel. Let's rock.